Chapel this Thursday morning, and obviously we are doing things a bit different today as evidenced by the arrangement of the room and also the focus on the table. You should have received on your way in a piece of black construction paper, okay, and you're going to need that a little bit later in our service. So if you don't have one of those, why don't you raise your hand up real quick? I think we've got some of the ladies at the back that can help with that, okay? So you'll need that. This morning, our focus is on celebrating the Lord's Supper. And for some of you, you may know this more as the Eucharist or the Mass, the Divine Liturgy, or Holy Communion. It is a rich and historic part of the ancient liturgy, and the word liturgy itself means the work of the people. And so this morning, this service is something that we will all be doing together. You will be asked at various times to join in the reading of prayers, to participate in the confession of sin, to pass the peace, and to come to the table to receive the bread and the cup in remembrance and celebration of Christ's sacrifice. And my hope this morning is that by experiencing this meal in a fresh and maybe a different way that might be more reverent, might be a little more focused than we normally celebrate communion, that as a result of that, we will be drawn together in greater unity as the body of Christ here at Dallas Christian College. So I encourage all of us right now to focus our attention on what is taking place in order that we may leave changed, becoming more like Christ in our obedience to God and in our love for one another. Before we hear from God's word and are encouraged by personal testimonies from several students, then I'm going to invite you to stand again and join me in our opening prayer and remain standing for the reading of the gospel by Dr. Snyder. Let's stand and let's read this prayer together. Dear God, silence all voices within our minds but your own. Help us to seek and be able to follow your will. May our prayers be joined with those sisters and brothers in the faith, that together we may glorify your name and enjoy your fellowship forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom."
Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we, who are many, are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf.
For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself.
Communion. What communion means to me is our remembrance of what Christ did for us on the cross and the things he did throughout his life. Growing up, I went to church a lot. I was a private school kid and I knew a lot. And I never really knew what communion means. So every time I passed, get the plate during church, I would think it's like a snack during church because I didn't know. Throughout my life, man, I've been through a lot of stuff. I mean, like I said, I grew up in church, but there was a time in my life where I denied church. I denied if Jesus was real. I mean, he put me through a lot of stuff to help me realize that he is real. And last year during this time, my eyes were opened back up to who Jesus is and the things that he's done for me and the things he's done for us. What really hit me and what really brought me to tears was just the fact that God would send his son, his only son, to come and die for us, for people who he didn't know, but he knew that we would sin, and he knew that he had something to do, and that thing was to die for us. So communion is, I mean, I take it very seriously because I just do it in remembrance of what Jesus has done for us. So that's it.
So what communion means to me. A little bit about myself if I didn't get to talk to you or you haven't got to know me in a deeper way. My father, my biological father, I never got to meet him. He walked out on my mother and I before I was even born. And well, my stepfather and I's relationship wasn't all that great. But I got to the point where I thought I could do it on my own, where I'm just like, you know what, I don't need anybody. I can do it, I'm fine. But as I walked further in my walk with Christ, I realized I do have a father. I have a father that I go and I cry to. I'm like, what's going on today? What's going on? And I have a father that I just go on my knees and just ask him why, what's going on? And I have a father that I lift my hands up. I'm like, I love you so much. And that's the same father that you guys all serve. We're all one. We're all one in the body of Christ. And as we take communion today, just remember that we are a family. And that's one thing that I really enjoy about here and taking communion is we are united. And just remember that the body and the blood of Christ and what he did for us on that cross, that's what communion means to me, for all of us to come together as a family.
Communion is a reminder every Sunday what Jesus Christ did for us on the Last Supper. When I was growing up, I attended a Catholic school from first through eighth grade, so I had a basic understanding what communion was. As some of you may know, we Catholics tend to be very traditionalists, and in second grade, I had to go through my first communion, and it was a crazy time. What they put us through before we received it for the first time. First of all, every time you had first to something for a little kid, it could always be very intimidating. And then our teachers, which were nuns right there, they'd always told us that we couldn't eat anything in the morning and we had to be on our best behavior. For second graders, that's kind of hard to do. But, you know, it was a crazy time. And when we finally got to the point where the priest did the communion, he welcomed us. And then we became a step closer in a deeper relationship with Jesus. We all became one with God. From then on, every Friday, our school would have Mass in the morning, and while every Sunday, I go to Mass with my parents. And the one thing I never forgot about communion was the meaning behind it. The priest blesses the bread and wine and said to us the same thing Jesus said to his apostles. And the main thing that stuck with me was, do this in memory of me. The bread and wine is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and it's also the time that we all come in unity together and share what he gave us. We all become one. Communion for me is a remembrance of the Last Supper. It has impacted me at an early age and reminds me every time I do communion how much he loves me.
Thank you, Aaron and Diana and Garrison, for sharing your personal experiences as they relate to the Lord's Supper and communion. Many of us in this room can relate to their shared experiences, but I imagine that if we had more time, each of us would share an aspect of the Eucharist that has particular significance or meaning to us in our relationship with the Lord. It may be, as Garrison mentioned, our first communion, or the Lord's Supper that took place during Holy Week on a Maundy Thursday. Or it may be the Holy Communion that was shared by a husband and wife on the day of their wedding. The beauty of the Lord's Supper is that it transcends cultural, ethnic, and denominational divisions because it is part of a meal. And everyone, no matter where they are, eats. Amen? See? There are some distinct differences in interpretation of the elements, and that's something that we don't have time to go into detail with today. But in all instances, the main focus of the Lord's Supper, or the Eucharist, the communion, is on Christ. That's what makes it possible for us to join together in worship this morning, regardless of our church background or our prior experiences. Christ is the head of this table. Christ is the one who invites us to this meal. I've shared this story before several times here at DCC, but the first time that Mark and Caroline Worley and I went to Moscow in 1993, we were living with a group of Russians for about 10 days at one of their pioneer camp facilities. And this was over the Christmas and New Year holiday, and we had the opportunity to do Bible teaching really under the guise of what they were calling cultural exchange, which allowed us to get into the country. We shared with the Russian people aspects of our life here in the States that related to Christianity, which opened up a lot of conversations centering around God and the role that religion played in our society. During our time there, we had the opportunity to present a worship service on a Sunday morning. And I remember that our team spent a great amount of time discussing whether or not to include a celebration of the Lord's Supper in our service, simply because we knew that most of the Russians we were living with were either atheists and really wouldn't understand what we were doing, or many of them also came from an Orthodox church background. The last thing we wanted to do was to offend anyone and possibly destroy any of the seed planting that was taking place. Ultimately, though, we decided that communion was a part of our Christian culture back in the U.S., and so we were going to celebrate the Lord's Supper and trust that God would use this witness to speak to our Russian friends. So Sunday morning came, and we gathered bread and wine for the communion service. We started our time of worship with prayer and singing and reading of Scripture, and then we went into the time for the Lord's Supper. One of the Russian ladies we met at this pioneer camp was the head cook, and her name was Serafima. We've got a picture of her up here. Interestingly enough, her name derives from the word seraphim, which we read in the Bible. I would call Serafima the matriarch of the camp. She was the head babushka. And during my time there, she and I developed a very strong bond of friendship and love. But at that time, we knew she was a very strong Orthodox believer. She attended most of our Bible studies while we were in Russia that 10 days that we were there, and she asked lots of questions. So as the time came for people to receive the Lord's Supper, Serafima immediately got up from the room and left. And I was just crushed because I knew in my heart that we must have somehow offended her because we were celebrating communion in a way that was different from the Orthodox Church. So we concluded our communion service and we moved right into the preaching. And about 5 minutes into the sermon, Serafima returned to our meeting area. And she had gone down to her room and she had changed out of her cook's uniform and she had put on a nice dress. And she had combed her hair, and she prepared herself in a proper way to receive those communion elements. I'll never forget that morning. She walked right up to Gene Shepherd, a former president here of DCC who was preaching, and through an interpreter, she asked if it was too late for her to have communion. We paused the service, all of us crying, and we said a brief prayer, and then Serafima, in the way that she felt was proper and God-honoring, took communion. I have never felt more connected with another person through Christ in all my entire life. We didn't speak the same language. We didn't know anything about each other's lives. But at that moment, we were united through Christ. There are many different lens through which the Lord's Supper can be viewed. Many of our church traditions view it as a memorial. Some view it as a table of mercy, where the focus is primarily on our unworthiness and Christ's faithfulness. Some of you come from traditions where the emphasis may be on the transubstantiation of the elements, where they become the actual body and blood of Christ. Still others connect the Lord's Supper with the renewal of our baptismal vows, or view it as an anticipation of the marriage supper of the Lamb that's spoken about in Revelation 19. This morning, I want to remind us that the Lord's Supper is a fellowship. It's a koinonia with Christ and with one another. Gordon T. Smith emphasizes this when he writes, "The Lord's Supper, then, is never a solitary and individual event. It is always a meal of the community of faith hosted by Christ as an event wherein we both declare and experience the grace that we are at peace with one another. The unity of the community of faith is always vulnerable and tenuous, and the common act of eating together sustains and nurtures this unity." It's a great quote. Satan's greatest desire, and I'm convinced of this the more I'm involved in life as a Christian, his greatest desire for this body of DCC is to become divided and fractured and dysfunctional. Look around this room. Look at the people sitting next to you. Take a look. This is the body of Christ. It may stretch you. It may be a stretch for you at this moment, but you have to know that the person who is sitting right next to you is actually created in the image of God. Now tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor. The table, this table, is the great equalizer. We may look different, we may speak different languages, we may think differently, but the one thing that we have in common is Jesus Christ. Our fellowship with him must extend to our fellowship with one another. This is the lens through which I want you to view the Lord's Supper today. It is important that before we approach the Lord's table, that we remember that God is all righteous and holy, as well as all merciful and forgiving. We kneel in penitence to acknowledge that we are sinful and we need God's forgiveness. And to help us with this corporate confession of sin, I would ask you to take out that piece of construction paper that you were given. And again, if you need one and you came in just a few minutes ago, please raise your hand because we want everybody to participate in this. Okay. I want you to take a deep look into this piece of paper. Sean up here needs one. Somebody can bring one up here. And the steps do. Huh? You got it? Thank you. Before we go on, let's let everybody get this. Is that everybody? Good. So, take a look at your paper. And it's black for a reason. Okay? I want you to let this paper represent those sins that you are finding difficult to let go of in life. And these may be mistakes and failures from the past, or as Sherry Kulwicki talked about on Tuesday, they may be the hooks that Satan has you attached to right now, right here in the present. And I want to let your mind, your mind's eye, write all of these sins and failures and mistakes on this piece of paper. And we're going to take a few minutes to let you pray about what this paper represents and then to do some personal house cleaning. Will you let go of these hooks? Will you finally say enough with the guilt and the pain that comes from living outside the will of God? Will you allow God to remove these chains from your life and set you free, healing you once and for all from your sin? So after a minute or two of reflection and personal introspection, when you are ready to say that you've had enough, then I want us as a body to symbolize the confession of this sin by tearing up the construction paper. And you may need to tear it a couple of times if you're like me and you got a lot of stuff. Okay? But that symbol is going to be the letting go, being free from the hooks, the sin, the shame, the guilt that burdens us. We need to deal with that before we come to the table. So take a moment or two, pray. When you're ready, rip your paper, and we'll continue. Greeting one another with the peace of Christ is the fruit of the peace that exists between us and God, the restored relationship that we've just sung about. As God has given us peace through Christ, so let us pass the peace of Christ to each other as a sign of that unity. Now, this may be a very different worship element for some of you, and I understand that. But the common ancient practice is to greet those around you with, "The peace of the Lord be always with you." And the response is, "And also with you." We're going to take a moment, stand, and pass the peace to those around you, if you would, please. Kevin, the peace of Christ. Megan, the peace of Christ be always with you. The peace of Christ. The peace of Christ. The peace of Christ, Ashley. You can make your way back and be seated. Doesn't that just feel good? I think we need to do that more often. We're going to move to what is called the Great Thanksgiving. And in the Great Thanksgiving, we do what Jesus himself asked us to do. We thank God and recall all that God has done for us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Great Thanksgiving, or Eucharistic prayer, is a rich prayer with four parts. Each of these four parts corresponds to a different action of Jesus at the Last Supper, where he took, he blessed, he broke, and gave bread and wine as sacraments of his body and blood. The part of this prayer that you as the congregation will read will be in bold, bright, bold white text here in just a second. So following that prayer, you're going to be invited to come forward and receive the communion bread and juice. And I think to help facilitate that, let's start with those on the seated on the floor. And if you'll come up and you'll have bread and the cup. And then I've also asked Mrs. Mingo, Mrs. Latiger, Dr. Fish, Mr. Worley, and Mr. Hinton to be available to pray with any of you who would like to have intercessory prayer. In order to help facilitate this, they're going to be out in the hallway, and they'll be down maybe by 201, also up here by the choir room, to meet you for prayer so that you're not distracted by what's happening in here. I know that there are those in this room who have hurts and needs that could use some serious prayer, so I encourage you to please take advantage of this opportunity for healing and let someone pray with you. And for those of you that have had relationship issues, and maybe now as part of that forgiveness of a roommate or someone in the dorm, seek that person out and pray with them during communion. Be a great time of restoration. As we prepare for this prayer, it'll be very much a dialogue back and forth, and I want you to pay attention, close attention, to what it is that you're saying as we reenact and remember the gospel message. The great sacrifice, the great memorial meal, the great thanksgiving of Jesus Christ. Let's read together this opening section. It is right and fitting, our joy and our salvation, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Almighty, everlasting God, through Christ our Lord, by whom you made the world and all things living and beautiful. We bless you for your continual love and care for every creature. We praise you for forming us in your image and calling us to be your people. We thank you that you did not abandon us in our rebellion against your love, but sent prophets and teachers to lead us into the way of salvation. Above all, we thank you for sending Jesus to deliver us from the way of sin and death by the obedience of his life, by his suffering upon the cross, and by his resurrection from the dead. We praise you that he now reigns with you in glory and ever lives to pray for us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who leads us into truth, enables us to witness to our Lord with joy, and out of every people unites us into one holy church. Therefore, with the whole company of saints in heaven and on earth, we worship and glorify you, God most highly, and we proclaim with joy, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We give thanks to God that our Savior, Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until his coming again. For on the night of his arrest, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, This is my body which is for you. Do this as a memorial of me. In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this as a memorial of me. Your death, O Christ, we proclaim. Your resurrection, we declare. Your coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Lord. Creator God, show forth among us the presence of your life-giving Word and Holy Spirit to sanctify us and your whole church through this sacrament. Grant that all who share the communion of the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ may be one in him and remain faithful in love and hope. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. And now, as our Savior Jesus Christ has taught us, we pray. Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ has died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
invite you to come.
Thank you.
This morning we have joined together as one body to remember the death of Jesus Christ, to give thanks for his sacrifice, to celebrate his resurrection, and to look forward to his return. As we prepare to leave this time of corporate worship and continue our worship in the world, let us stand and we'll lift our voices in prayer with these closing words. Let's join together. Most gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and for what you have promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you, and we ask that our daily living may be part of your kingdom, and that our love may be your love, reaching out into the life of the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace.
Fall apart, you're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need